you, Holly Weirdos. We are so excited to be providing another haunted helping of our listeners' tales episode. Like, we've done quite a few of these. We can't even remember the number of this type of episode, number 10, 11, or 12. But regardless, you guys provided some pretty scary and ghostly stories that left us shook and Bryce kind of shaking underneath the kitchen table as we were recording this episode. We have four ghostly tales from our listeners, one that talks about a visitation from a past family member and pet, while another one visits a haunted location in San Diego only to come home with a shadow person. What happens when you play with a Ouija board in a haunted university dormitory? And then let's talk about a haunted boxing gym that had an unusual visitor that led to a listener to share another ghostly tale of something that happened to her and her mom while taking a haunted trolley ride. You definitely don't want to miss out on these tales. They're so freaking great, and we're so excited. Well, I'm more excited than Bryce to share them, of course. Now, you know how we do, okay? We're gonna want you to gather your Himalayan salt lamp. That's important. Your selenite crystals. But if you're not all about the Holly Weird banter, feel free to time jump to 2535. And if you're all about it, which I'm sure you definitely want to hear several of Bryce's rants, and another story that we're going to cover in regards to the recent news of Oceangate, then you're more than welcome to stay tuned. So gather your salt lamps, gather your crystals, and you definitely want to grab that extra nightlight to sleep tonight, because this is another haunted helping of our listeners' tales episode. So let's get haunted and Holly Weird.
Oh, happy summer.
I know.
We're just summery girls
now. I know.
Now.
A couple of days ago, summer solstice.
I know. And also, like, 2 days beyond that, it was, like, cloudy Seattle. Like,
right.
New Seattle up in here.
We had the May gray.
May gray, June gloom. I thought we were never going to get out of it.
I thought so, too. It was a little weird.
Which, like, makes sense because this winter was so aggressive, too.
Yes.
Like, we're just never going to be out of it.
But I was kind of here for it.
The temperature, I was definitely here for. I did miss. I need the sun. I need that vitamin D. Hey, Pride. What's up?
What kind of D? Here we go.
It's tough because, like, as soon as the sun comes out, like, you can already tell it's like, it gets so much hotter. So
oh, absolutely. Like today, it was
so hot.
A nice, brisk 85. I was like, oh, I'm sweating and it feels so good, but it's so warm.
That's about my upper echelon. Like anything higher than 85, if I'm not like in the water, I don't like it. I don't know, 90, like, no, thank you. 110, like, fuck off. Like, no.
My parents that live in the South and my family, too, that live in New Orleans, they were like, oh, my God, it's 105 degrees. It's so bad.
It's different there, though, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, humid.
It's humid heat.
I would much rather.
No, like, I'm
even
fine here.
75 and humid, just kill me. Like, I'd rather just not. Thanks. Yeah.
It's like you'll take a shower in New Orleans and you step out and it's like you just felt like you just took another shower again. Oof. It's so gnarly.
I don't miss that at all.
Right.
Nothing kill.
But May has been pretty busy for the both of us, hasn't it? So let's do a little recap before we go into our listeners' tales, which has been much requested.
I know. I'm so excited.
And I've been marking on our emails the listener tale stories because we've gotten a couple in the past, but not enough to finally fulfill an episode.
I mean, we don't want to like cut, you know what I mean? Like cut it short.
Yeah, so exactly.
I get it.
But thank you to each and every one of you guys who sent in your stories. But this past May has been very busy but fulfilling. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, bravo to Bryce Mitchell Williams and the group at the Firefly Theater.
Yes.
You guys had open and close the Maiden's Prayer.
So crazy. I know.
And then now you guys are doing title of show, right?
Next week, yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you want to throw a little tidbit, a little info on our LA peeps that are in and around town that want to catch a nice musical?
It's a really funny musical. I always tell people it's like a musical for musical theater people, mm-hmm. but there really is like, it's funny. There's jokes. There's humor for everybody. Like if you don't love musical theaters, there's something for you. If you love musical theater,
yeah,
this is for you. This is the one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we open next week. Tickets are on the link in my bio, as is tradition, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I'm really excited. And it's just here in the Valley. It's just over at the Sherry. Yeah.
So nice. It's in NoHo. It's in the Arts District.
And like right in there's like the Red Line drops you off there. There's bars there.
Perfect.
There's a Starbucks there. Like it's a great location.
Go grab a Starbucks and a fat dog. There's a really awesome hot dog place nearby. Yeah. And then you could walk to the theater and catch Bryce and his friends of Title of Show.
And I take my shirt off. So it's like a whole journey.
What is it with you and these shows where you're
naked
like
all the time?
Naked.
I don't know. Just living my best life. Just trying to survive, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And where can people find you on Instagram to click on that link in the bio to get the tickets?
You can either go to the Firefly Theater Group for their direct Instagram or my personal Instagram, the Smirking Assassin.
Yes, guys. And I think it goes when from June 3rd to July 9th?
Yeah. It's like whatever this next upcoming, the last weekend in June that kind of spans into the first weekend. So just six shows. So three and then three. Yeah.
That's a good chunk of shows.
It'd be nice. Yeah.
But you feel confident? You feel pretty good?
I'm ready.
You're ready? I've been seeing the videos. Like it looks really good.
Yeah. It's been really fun.
It looks really funny.
Really good and really funny. And
yeah.
That's always makes it so much better.
So go see him, guys.
Yes.
Go catch a show. It's a great show and it's in a great area, of course. Yeah. Can we talk about, you know what I'm going to say? We talked about it earlier.
It's so weird.
So is the internet. Ocean Gate.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have seen it in real time that we're recording right now in June of 2023, as you guys have recently heard about this horrible tragedy of the Ocean Gate submersible that perished near the Titanic wreckage. And there was a search. There was how many days was it? Like 4 days almost?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turned out that it definitely imploded.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like look, I'm going to get canceled for talking about this. Sorry. Like
I hear it. I think we would have been canceled a long time ago. Here we are.
To me, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
The thought of like waiting and running out of oxygen in the dark, knowing that like there's probably no hope. That's just so awful. I saw this video of a woman explaining like how quickly our brain registers pain. Like there's a physical delay. Like, you know, if you hurt yourself, you like kind of wait and then you feel how much pain you're in. There's a delay. It takes your body time to get those synapses firing to your brain. And the speed at which an implosion happens is faster than that. So they would not have registered
or
felt.
It's even
they wouldn't have
shorter.
Felt what happened. They might have been aware that something was wrong beforehand, which obviously that's very tragic as well and scary and like horrifying. I also saw, to keep this in context, I saw someone who kind of broke it down and they were like, $250,000. I mean, to you and me, and I would assume most of our listeners, I'm guessing we don't have a lot of billionaires based on like my comments alone.
Right.
If you're a billionaire, reach out. I'd love to chat.
Someone needs a daddy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Seriously.
But $250,000 to a person who is worth $1 billion, or in this case, multiple billions of dollars.
Right.
It's the equivalency of someone who's making $50,000 paying $7 or $8 for a cup of coffee. So to me, that kind of put it in context of like, why the fuck would they do this? Like, it's so insane. Like, you see the footage of like the actual thing. I'm like, you cannot pay me enough to get in there.
It's the idea.
If someone told you like, hey, like, do you want to buy me a coffee and I'll take you to like see the Titanic? Why wouldn't you? Like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
Like coffee, sure. So I think there is an element of that.
Yeah.
My roommate Emily, she was talking about. They're like, right, the Kennedy curse, like how all of the Kennedys like die in horrific, tragic ways. And are they cursed? Maybe. They certainly have a lot to atone for. Or are rich people just incapable of assessing risk the same way that we are as like normal humans?
Because good question.
I think they just buy into that like nothing can happen to me because nothing ever has.
Uh-huh.
And then you see these people and it's like when you really break it down, it's like people across the board tell these people not to do these things. And they're like, no, it'll be fine. And then, you know, this article was talking about like, and then JFK rides in a convertible, even though there were multiple credible assassination threats that weekend. And Bobby Kennedy walks through the kitchen without his Secret Service agents instead of going out the Secret Service approved guarded entrance to the hotel. And JFK Jr. flies his plane when every other plane had been grounded. And, you know, I'm not trying to victim blame at all, but I think they are just physically... when you don't have adversity in your life, you don't know how to assess.
Right.
And I think they're bored, frankly.
It's also a little bit of ego, I feel.
Oh, my God, yes.
A tremendous amount. That's what I was going to kind of run into, lead into. Mm-hmm. So another thing why I wanted to bring this up is I've been watching the internet unfold with some tasteless and...
hilarious.
I'm trying
we
to
can
fight.
Say it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to fight. We are fighting for our spot in heaven.
I already sold my spot. It's fine. Yeah.
But these memes have been kind of hilarious. And I've been also seeing videos of people now as we you know, try to process this tragedy. Well, this was something in relation to something nefarious and spiritual that was the reason. So now they're blaming the ghosts of the Titanic.
Well, maybe, hopefully. It is a little bit of class warfare, kind of like it.
It kind of is.
Like,
but
rich people go down to see the graves of, like, the poor people who are left on the boat. Yeah, maybe exactly. They kind of struck back.
But... in all actuality, in reference to the 1912 tragedy, it was all ego. They wanted to speed up the boat to get to its final destination, and it didn't because of the speed. They were unable to avoid that iceberg in time. And
again, same scenario. Like, people were telling them, don't do this. It'd take the longer way.
Yes. And here we are. And then, of course, there were not enough lifeboats. It was just... ego and
hubris and
yes.
all of it. Yeah.
And that's how I feel like with the Ocean Gate. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a lot of people who wanted to create this company, be the first to bring these billionaires or people who had a lot of like cachet or money
right.
to something that is a unique destination.
My thing is like, leave it alone. Imagine if people were coming yeah. into like your grandmother's like plot in a cemetery. And they're like, well, sorry, we, like, paid. We, like, get to explore her grave plot. You'd be like, can you, like, leave it the fuck alone?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Well, that is what Robert Ballard said. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Robert Ballard is? Mm-hmm. So for some of you that don't know who he is, in 1985, he was the first person to discover the Titanic. Mm-hmm. It was a cover mission. He was hired by the Navy to go and discover or try to find the USS Hornet and Thresher, which he did. And then he had 12 days to spare, and he told, you know, his higher-ups, hey, I'm going to go find the Titanic. They gave him the go. They're like, okay, here's your team. Here's everything Damn. That you need. Just go ahead. You have 12 days. And within those 12 days, he found it in 8 days.
That's crazy.
And he had 4 days to explore the exterior and the interior.
Damn.
So he had done many trips back and forth between, you know, up above the Atlantic floor to the resting place of the Titanic. Mm-hmm. He was the one that took James Cameron and had worked with James Cameron when he was shooting that film. And after that film is when more people started to take that risk and go down and try to find the Titanic on their own. And now Robert Ballard is a retired, you know, Navy officer. Mm-hmm. He's a professor. He has done many TED Talks and lectures. Yeah. And in one of his TED Talks, you can find it online, but he goes on, there's a portion of his TED Talk where he's like, now, if you look at the hornet's nest, a hornet's nest is the damage that is left behind from people who have taken upon themselves to go and discover the Titanic.
Jesus.
And they park their submarines on top of this very delicate ship
oh,
that is
God.
In the bottom of the ocean. So he's like,
I remember back then, this hole wasn't here. Mm-hmm. This hole wasn't here. You see this orange color that signifies to me and my team that someone was here.
Oh my God.
So he's like, I'm fine with people going to discover the Titanic. It's fine. Do it safely, but be respectful.
Right.
Don't go to the Louvre and stick your finger in the Mona Lisa painting.
Right. But that's my thing, is that like the company that, you know, funded this one, the guy, the CEO that was on the ship with the submersible, their whole thing is like, well, for like exploration, but like we've already 3D mapped the entirety of the wreckage. Like they sent drones down there.
Yeah.
They 3D mapped it. You can go online right now and you can virtually explore every millimeter of that ship. And it's enough. It's enough.
Right.
That is exploration. That is cataloging for information to then be disseminated to the masses. You now just like going down there for like your dick measuring contest. I'm sorry, but this is just the like fuck around and find out of it all. And
it
like
is.
With this company in particular, like, look, I am quite callous. I'm never going to cry over a billionaire. And I hear, dear listeners, I you can be mad at me. You can say mean things about me. It really is fine. I have already been called so many things online because, like, I'm not sad for them. I mean, the 19-year-old is pretty. That one's really tough.
Yeah, that one's very difficult because he wasn't thrilled.
And I think he was just, like, humoring his dad on Father's Day weekend. Like, that is quite sad. But these men who, like, were doing this, there have been warnings since 2018 about this company, about this vessel, about this particular vessel. Like, each time they go down, the hull is weakened. So, like, you can only go down, like, 2 times per craft. And this was its, like, 5th or 6th time down there. Like, so many regulations ignored. And him, the CEO, bragging about all the ways that he, like, avoided regulation. And, like, I'm sorry, we need regulation. And then being like, well, with regulation, like, the industry stagnates and there's no progress to be made. No, I'm sorry. No, this, like, need for zero regulation business as we, like, I mean, we're literally in the middle of, like, the most monumental strike in the entertainment history, arguably, iteration. The last time the writers strike, or the Writers Guild and the Acting Guild at the time, which, you know, now it's SAG-AFTRA, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
But the last time we struck, it was when we received streaming, or not streaming, residual rights. Like, we didn't get residuals before that. And that is, like, industry standard now, and the way people are able to make a living. And now, once again, here we are. They don't want to pay people for their time. They don't want to pay people for their value from the top down. And so just this whole thing just reeks of classism to me. Like, well, we don't need regulation and we need to progress, but when there's no regulation, people take advantage of working people. That is historically what always happens. And so, like, I don't feel, look, I'm a pacifist. I don't wish anyone dead. I never think that death is the solution. I'm against the death penalty and I'm against war, like all those things. But this is not that. This is someone blatantly ignoring every common sense safety measure that you and I would not, I would not have gotten in that tube. There's no.
Well, there are people even went on to say, hey, I refuse too.
And they fired the safety officer in 2018. Yeah, and there's like all these other submersible pilots in 2018 who like wrote an op-ed letter and were like, please don't do this.
Don't
like,
do this, yeah.
The signs were there. He thought he was bigger than God. And
once again, it's ego.
It is. And so, like, do I feel sad? No, again, I'm never going to cry for a billionaire. They want me dead, too. Their actions are killing this planet. Like, look, I'm sorry. We're coming in real hot. I hear it. I'm sure if there's...
Well, no, we're coming in hot. Yeah, look, my husband is also... My friends and my husband in the industry, especially who are a part of IOTSI, they're feeling the pinch because of the strike. It sucks.
It's insane. And it's like 4 people who could end this tomorrow and they just refuse. And, you know, the rest of us are going to suffer. And like anytime you see these articles that are like, oh, like that your favorite program is canceled. That's not the writer's fault. That's not the actor's fault. Like, please put your anger where it belongs. It's the heads of these streaming companies.
It always is.
And their greed. And they are the one they could end this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they just choose not to.
Exactly.
And they're counting on you to be angry at the wrong people because they're very good at this point. Mm-hmm. So look, I hear it. This leftist rant is coming in real hot.
But no, but it needs to be said. And I think that makes a lot more sense than a bunch of ghosts being the cause of an accident like this, which really makes me upset.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, I'm sure. Like, yes, there has been claims that there's haunted pieces connected to this ship that has been definitely put on display in certain areas and certain museums. But to put this tragedy on the hands of something that is spiritual and nefarious is completely not the point. The point is what you were just saying. It's that it's all about ego. It's all about people with money who try to blame the wrong people.
Right. Like, I mean, that's if you really want to boil it down, like the spirits of the people that are ostensibly left are the poor.
Yeah.
Third class and working citizens that couldn't get on a lifeboat because of classism. So like, you're going to blame poor ghosts for like this billionaires. Like, it's the same problem.
It's the same problem. Here we are.
So yeah, look, again, coming in real hot. Let's do some stories, our girls.
Let's do some stories.
I mean, if you live in LA, then you know. And if you don't live in LA, but you follow Vanderpump Rules, then you really know. If not any of those things, then sorry, this isn't for you. But all I can think about is that Tom Sandoval, who is like the center of this like Vanderpump Rules chaos.
Oh my God. Yeah, we can talk about this a little bit.
I cannot decide if he is thrilled or furious that this happened, because the cycle, it's so weird to watch. Like, we're watching news cycles happen in real time. Mm-hmm. And like, it moved on from Scandoval so quickly, rightfully so, because it was like a human, you know, human being in peril, crisis. And between this and the boat in Greece, like, the news cycle has completely moved on.
Right.
From anything doing, correctly so. Like, again, Vanderpump Rules is not real. Like, I'm not saying, like, I can't believe it moved on so quickly. It should have. I bet you he's just fuming that we're not, like.
No, I could tell you he is.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. I remember running into him years ago at the 24-Hour Fitness in NoHo. Mm-hmm. Can I talk about this for a second?
Oh, God.
We were doing one of those Nike workout class. Mm-hmm. And the guy, I've taken a couple classes with him. He has the same spot. It's always in front of the mirror.
Of course.
And after each class, he would flex. He will stay for a couple minutes to stretch, but it's mainly to gaze in the mirror. And this is when, before he had that weird mustache thing on his lip. And he had like this really dark, like, he looked like a cartoon character, like black hair. And then he wore this bandana around his head and he had that fake tan. It was just, I just remember just standing there. I'm like, wow, this is LA here. This is the industry.
That's deeply the tea, is that he is exactly the kind of person that he thinks
hasn't changed. I could tell you that.
He thinks he's like a tastemaker in Hollywood, but he's the person that like comes to Hollywood and thinks that the like veneer of Hollywood that they show you for the Oscars is real. And then they make that their entire personality. There's not a genuine, like, he just thinks he's like cool guy through Los Angeles, but like, nobody who acts like that.
No.
I mean, I guess he surrounds himself with other people who act like that.
I believe, like, that. Oh, that's what it is.
It's really cringy.
Yeah,
it
was like, I remember always seeing him just gawk at himself after that class. I'm just thinking to myself, man, there is a difference between reality stars and actual, like, respectable movie stars.
Oh, God, of course. Like, I mean, look, I'm sure he thinks I'm embarrassing, too. So it's tit for tat, but.
Like, I remember a friend of mine did yoga with Drew Barrymore at Core Power in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she was really sweet. Oh, she was, God, really lovely. It was funny. She didn't, like, we all had our water. She came in with this can of Diet Coke and
hilarious.
She was really, really nice. Like, she struggled a little bit, but, you know, she was like very personable to everyone. And then you have this reality star that's just like, so like focused tunnel vision on his pecs, and I just thought that was
hilarious. What's that thing that, like, if you have it, you don't have to like flex it, like, right? Drew Barrymore doesn't need to like flex her star power because she's Drew fucking Barrymore.
Yes,
who the hell is
she's boss, like, she's boss
on. Yeah, I love her.
All right, guys, I'm sure you're like, we'll get
to this. I know, fast forward, you're fine. Timestamp.
See it in the reviews.
Too
much banter, where's the ghosts?
I've been called so many things this week because every time I see a TikTok or like a post, I'm just like, yeah, sorry, like, okay, I'm rooting for the orcas, like, I don't have to tell you, it's fine.
Well, We have a couple of ghost stories that we're dying, no pun intended, to share with you all. And we have one that's complimented with a picture. So a shout out to our friend,
Aubrey. In email. She's been saying that she was going to write for like so long.
Yes. And I told her that we're collecting these stories. I know it's been a while, but we've been trying to collect as many as we can. I think we had two like months ago. I was like, we just need two more. And we just got the fourth one. So Bryce, without further ado, let's start this listener's tales.
Okay, this is from Aubrey. And she sent this, and it's titled, My Run-In with a Shadow Figure. Bye. Hello, spooky darlings. It's taken me forever to get around to sending this in, but I told Bryce that I had to do it. She did. It was a verbal blood oath. So here's my most recent adventure with an otherworldly entity, and it even comes with a picture. Great. The story is a three-parter, but I'll try and keep it concise. Hold on to your butts. I will. It's pride, I will. last February, two friends and I went down to San Diego to take one of the many walking ghost tours through downtown. Oh, I bet you that's so beautiful.
It
is.
My God, I love that. I've taken it. It's gorgeous.
I love downtown. It's just like, I love San Diego in general.
Yeah,
so
every,
cool.
Like, if you have a chance, if you're ever in San Diego, do one of those tours. It's really nice.
I love that. We were all believers in the paranormal due to life experience, but we also carry a healthy amount of skepticism. I think it's a good balance.
Always a good balance.
My two friends are photographers, videographers, and they made sure to bring some equipment to take photos of during our tour, hoping to catch a glimpse of something unusual. I did not believe that I would have any such luck. The finale of the tour took us to the Davis Horton House, in which another listener previously wrote in about. Spooky.
Yes.
It was an eerie and heavy location, but none of us can say that we really experienced anything there. At one point, I felt a little lightheaded and like I was standing on uneven ground. That house is old, so I probably was, and I have shitty equilibrium to begin with anyway. It was a really fun time, though, and the next day we all went over our individual collection of photos. The guys had nothing on their cameras, but my phone caught something that gave me full body chills. I did everything I could to try and explain this image away, and I went and I sent it to my friends for their professional opinions, and they could not come up with a single rational explanation either. I was shook. I'm already shook. Agreed. Y'all, I caught a non-living entity on my iPhone. That's like the tagline of the series. I never thought such a day would ever come. There was a solid black shadow figure standing right behind a woman in the tour group. There were three people in the room when I took this photo, me and my friend Vince and this woman. However, there are four figures in the picture. Fast forward a few months later, I was standing outside the Pack Theater in Hollywood. Oh, I love the Pack.
I know.
After a friend's show, and a group of us started talking about why all theaters seem to be haunted. On God. On that note, I decided to pull out my most recent capture of the paranormal to show off for the class. It caused quite a bit of excitement that led to conversations about future ghost hunting expeditions, none of which have occurred yet. Big sigh. Love that. At home, the following morning, I woke up and turned over to see my husband lying there staring at me. That is unusual. I said good morning and asked him if everything was okay. His opening line had me positive that I had heard him wrong. There was something in our room last night. Excuse me? Seeing as how we were both safe in our bed, I asked him to explain what the fuck he was talking about. He told me that in the middle, oh my God, no. In the middle of the night, around 3 a.m., he woke up and thought that I had gotten up to go to the bathroom because there was a figure standing near him next to the bed that was roughly my size. Oh no. Except that it was pitch black and it wasn't moving.
Oh, yeah.
Not the bed, no. He said he asked me if I was okay, but I didn't respond. That's when he looked over to my side. Oh, my God, no, I would die. That's when he looked over to my side of the bed and saw me sleeping soundly. No. Now, my husband is an absolute non-believer in the paranormal, spirits, afterlife, all that jazz. So, his fight or flight kicked in because in his mind, we had an intruder. Fair.
Yeah.
My husband lunged at the figure and hit the... Oh, my God.
That is hot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Like, when you have someone who's like, yeah.
My husband lunged at the figure and hit the opposite wall instead of a person. He then flipped the nearest light switch to see that there was no one there.
Oh, my God.
At this point in his story, I don't know if I was more angry at him for not waking me up or more impressed that he meant to take the person down on his own because he is an amputee with one leg. I mean, when your adrenaline kicks in, like, you're ready to go. Good for him.
Yeah.
He said he just leaned against the wall, stunned for a moment, and eventually managed to get back into bed and went to sleep after some time. One thing that highly unnerves me about this event is that I slept through the whole thing. That is very intense. Like, a slamming sound into a wall and the light on.
And you slap through. I mean, that sounds like me too. Same, I probably would. I would. Yeah.
Just roll over. Like, turn the light off. Like,
I know.
Okay. Not only that, but the entire night, I am a terrible and very light sleeper. See, I'm not. So that wouldn't be unusual for me, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The slightest changes in the room or just my husband rolling over in bed wake me up on most occasions. I always wake up several times on any given night, and that night I somehow slept like the dead. Ah, puns. As the beautiful, stubborn ass that he is, he somehow tried to explain all of that away with the most ludicrous and nonsensical reasoning. But I know what that was. That shadow bitch came home with me. Hilarious. I told him back when we were dating that if he was with me long enough, he would experience some weird shit and change his views of our world. I've been dealing with ghoulies and ghosties since I was a baby. I have many stories. Yes. Later that afternoon, while he was out golfing, I imagined myself being surrounded by protective light and asked my guides and my ancestors to help me cleanse the shit out of our house. Smart.
That's the best way to go.
I opened all the doors and windows, smudged with my bundle of juniper. And, oh, yes. I love that.
Man, Aubrey just does it right, man.
Aubrey knows what's up, for sure.
She knows what's up. That's how you do it. Yeah.
And told every entity was in my house that I did not invite them to follow me around. They were absolutely not welcome in my home. And I was more than pissed off that they chose to frighten my husband instead of coming. To me, hilarious.
Yes.
Girl, bye.
But girl, they're, pretty hot. That's hot.
I know. Ooh,
I know. Swoon. Very, very much swoon.
There has been nothing around to mess with us since. Ooh, I love that it worked. Here's a picture. Tell me what you guys think. To the left is my friend. The other woman is in the center. And then yours truly on the right. The first is the original image. And the second is the same image zoomed in with the shadow circled. You two are the best. Keep on doing what you do. Love you both. I love you too, Aubrey.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. And we'll be posting this picture. At first, okay, so there's Aubrey, the two gentlemen, and you see on the reflection of that mirror, there is a shadow person behind that gentleman in front of the mirror. Now, at first I thought...
Oh, I thought it was his hat. He's not wearing that kind of hat.
So at first I thought it was the hat too, and then second, I thought it could be the individual, the other gentleman that's on Aubrey's right. But then I noticed, wait, he has like this kind of frizzy hair sticking out of his hat. But this figure, the outline of this figure is very smooth. Ugh. And it's very refined, meaning like the gentleman that's wearing a hat and have all this hair. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see it on this figure. And this is a blacker than black figure, which gave me chills because I've seen this before in real life. Mm-hmm. So I think you definitely attracted something there. I feel like, Aubrey, you definitely have some sort of magnetism to, you know, spiritual beings. You're a very spiritual person. You know, like, you've gone through this ever since your childhood. You know what you've seen. You know what your alerts are. And I feel like you definitely caught something. We would love to post this on our Instagram just to get everybody's opinions on it. But I feel like based on her experiences, based on the history of this house and just analyzing it, like, I believe like she definitely caught something there.
That's so weird.
Oof. But look at the outline. Like, mm-hmm. people are probably going to debate, well, it's the guy that is right next to her. True, it could be, but if you notice he has hair sticking out of his hat, if you zoom in on this figure, you would have seen that. You would have seen an outline of his hat and his hair, but it's very, very clean.
Right.
So it's definitely unexplainable. I wish, man, I wish you would have taken another picture, two pictures to see.
I know, it's so tough because, like, you don't think anything's happening. So you're like, why would you? And then later you see it, like, oh, shoot. Ugh.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I'm sure people are like, oh, you caught a demon. Shadow people are demons. And I think we were talking about this too, recently, of how people just immediately want to categorize what we're seeing or what is captured in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, because it makes us feel comforted to know what it is.
Totally.
But truly, when it comes down to it, we really don't know. Shit, I'm sorry. We don't, because you want to know something too that I discovered from my friend Johnny L. Tenney. He has been working with this Muslim community. Amazing. In Deer in Deerbrook in Michigan.
I love that.
And they have asked him to come and investigate, you know, their businesses and one particular home that has been experiencing shadow people.
Oh, wow.
And he was talking to them and he was like, well, what do you think it is? And they're like, well, we believe in our culture, we believe that shadow people are our loved ones. And he's like, enlighten me some more. Well, in our beliefs, when we see a shadow being, we see a light behind them. And we know that it's our loved ones because it's an outline of their body based out of the light that is shown behind them.
It's so beautiful.
So he says, you know, this is what I mean when we really don't know what the hell we're dealing with. And for other people to label it as such is contradicting other beliefs in other cultures.
Well, and look, there is, I think, some truth to geography playing and upbringing and history. Like, if you know when you die that that is what your belief system is, and then you are trying to come back, that's going to affect your energy in whatever is beyond this. And I love that. I think it's so beautiful that, like, yeah, people see shadow people all over the world, but, like, some people can take comfort in that, and some of them might be different. Who knows? That one looks spooky, and I hate it.
We'll be posting the picture on Instagram, guys, so you could take a look. But yes, I mean, San Diego has a lot of haunted locations and places. The Cosmopolitan Hotel, the Whaley House, so much more. The David Horton House, like everything. And the Star of India. I love that city, and it is a beautiful city.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend that you always take a tour around there and San Diego.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm just like, in my mind, I'm looking at the first picture that she sent in and drawing like a triangle between the three of them in my mind. The angle, I mean, look, I'm not a reflection expert, you know what I mean? But the angle that she's standing at into the mirror, so she's taking a photo into the mirror that then shows the reflection from a mirror on the opposite wall. But the man in the Jurassic Park sweatshirt, if he was being reflected at her angle, the shadow and the reflection would be, it would be at a different angle, I feel like.
Right.
Like, I feel, I mean,
but you're looking at it with a pair of,
like, she's
like a pair of logical and skeptic eyes.
No, that's
which
what I mean.
Appreciate.
Is that like the like figure
behind
the man that's facing away from Aubrey? And sorry, this is a very boring thing to listen to, but when you see the photo, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. Like, the man who's facing the mirror in the photo, and then with the ponytail, he is to her right, but the shadow figure is to his.
I see what you're meaning.
It doesn't match up the angles for it to be the
girl,
man.
Girl, you got it right. No, I see it now.
Because otherwise, the man in the Jurassic Park sweater, he would be in the reflection.
No, you're right.
On the opposite side. Right?
No, you're right.
Someone who knows more about reflections, in here.
We'll post the pictures, guys. Just tell us what. But you know what you also brought up? She's taking a picture of a mirror facing another mirror. So we all know what that means. In certain, you know, theories, like mirrors that face each other can also draw up energy.
I mean, this room is full of mirrors.
And it's crazy. Oh, my God. Talking about mirrors. So when I was in Louisville, I took a trip to your motherland of Indiana. I went to Mitchell, Indiana. And we'll be making a an episode about this, because I want to really get another person from there involved based on a case and other ghost stories from Louisville. But I want to go back so bad. But I went to Mitchell, Indiana to investigate the Whispers Estate. And I've spoken to Tenny about this, because he and Chad Lindbird had done the first episode pilot for Ghost Chasers. Yes. So this place is really interesting. And now it's owned by a professor of psychology at the University of Indiana, Richard Cart. And Richard's really sweet. He's a very skeptical and logical man, but the issue I had with the house is the fact that he allows way too many people in there and has given them a lot of leniency, which me and the psychic that were there, I'm like, I feel two energies. I feel the people that used to live here and they're really pissed because I'm going into these rooms with Ouija boards. I'm not saying it's the Ouija boards. I'm saying it's the living that come in there and open something up.
They don't do it.
Yeah. And they don't do it right. And she's like, that is what I'm getting. And she's like, do you feel like you're being pulled to the third floor? I'm like, I'm being pulled to be upset with these people here that own the house because they're pissed. Every time I would walk into a room, they're like, look, they're kind of like drawing me to certain areas of the room. Like, look at what the hell he did. Look at what all these people are doing. And we went to the third floor and she called it out. This is a shout out to my friend Anne-Marie.
Hi.
But she told Richard while we were on the second floor, she's like, Richard, you have a psychomantium. Do you know what a psychomantium is? It's a mirrored room. And the mirrored room is used to where one person can go in there and make communication with another world, in other words. And if you guys Google that, you can see several examples of one. If you go on our Instagram, I posted the picture of me inside the psychomantium, but he was so surprised how she called it out. So he takes us to the third floor. He opens this closet. It's a psychomantium.
Oh my God. It's so just, it's like he even knows what he's doing.
So he knows what he's doing. And they're like, they love this room. They want me to be in this room. They want you to be in this room. And I'm like, I don't want to be in this room. Like, this is like, I feel like there are a lot of people that opened vortexes here and they did not close.
No.
And I also get the feeling there's a lot of people that carry their own personal demons and they left them here. She's like, right.
I hate that. I hate it.
But I, yeah.
Stop dropping your kids off at daycare.
But it was the fact, like the power of mirrors, like they could be gateways to different types of worlds was just very, very interesting. So we'll be doing a separate episode based on my finds and my interviews on certain places in Louisville. But Louisville is certainly one of the most haunted cities in the U.S. And they have so many great stories and so much great food and great hospitality and people there. I loved it.
Aww.
All right. We have another story. Yes. So let's see right here. We have it from.
Well, do you want me to read the second part of
Aubrey?
Yeah, because she posted. You're right. I'm going to skip through a little bit because I don't know that she did make a mistake. So, I mean, I guess I can just read it. Okay. She just says, I might have made an error. I don't think she did, but maybe. I'm not questioning if it was your podcast that someone had written in about the Davis Horton house or if it was something like My Favorite Murder. It's possible. I mean, we all cover the same stuff.
I think so. I think we may have in the past.
I feel like if I know about it, then someone has to tell me about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I wouldn't know about it otherwise. So just in case it wasn't you guys, the short story of the house is that it was built in 1850 and it was once used as a pre-Civil War officer's barracks.
Yeah.
And then it was changed to a county hospital around 1873. It became a personal residence around the 1930s, and it finally was donated to the city of San Diego to turn into a museum in 1977. According to the tour guide, there are many deaths that have occurred in this home, and multiple mediums have claimed that there's anywhere between 90 and 150 active spirits and entities at any given time.
That's crazy. Yeah, sounds about right. Sounds like a party.
I mean, especially with like a hospital and like any of those places have so much like...
There's a lot of energy when I
and that era too, just like so much.
Yeah, when I investigated Waverly Hills in May in Louisville, I mean that's a good example of the amount of death that occurred in that location, and I can even imagine the amount of death that happened in this small location.
I know.
You know, San Diego's definitely, you know, it's not too much of an old town, but it has a lot of old history, as we talked about in the past with LA. If you think about it.
We cram a lot into a small space here in California.
We do.
We're expedited.
We are.
Thank you, Aubrey. That was great.
That was amazing.
High-key terrifying, so thank you for that.
All right, our next story is from Wendy. Wendy says, hello, first off. Thank you for hosting and putting on the event on Saturday at the Heritage Square Museum. It was a lot of fun, and my friend and I want to go back to that place and check it out.
Yeah, totally. It's beautiful there.
Shout out to Wendy. So my story is actually more bittersweet than scary. By the way, Wendy, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for coming up to us. You're such a sweetheart. I always believe that when our loved ones pass, they sometimes make it known to those who are grieving over them that they are okay. When my grandpa passed away, my mom woke up the next morning to see him sitting next to her smiling, aww, letting her know that he was okay.
Hmm.
Even pets that have passed, we have felt them jump on the bed and no one was anywhere near us, or hear the sounds of them running around the house,
aww,
which is something that has been documented mm-hmm. many times. My mom has even felt her little dog, Chloe, jump on her bed. Yeah, after she passed. And, you know, my mom is not a firm believer of ghosts, but she knows, like, there could be times where people can come back, your loved ones. But I believe that, too.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago, my Uncle Mike passed away. He was a wonderful man and also the jokester of the family. You heard of dad jokes? Well, he had the uncle jokes. Amazing. It was very sad to see him go so soon.
Mm.
Not long after he passed, I was home one day and my TV, which I had for a while, no issues with it at all, suddenly turned on by itself.
Oof.
It makes this very loud melody when it turns on, so you know it's on. I was in the other room and walked back in. I thought maybe the button got stuck on the side of the TV, but I rarely use that button and always use my remote to turn it on and off. I shrugged it off, turned it off, and walked away. A few minutes later, it turned on again.
Oh,
I was perplexed. Again, shrugging it off, I pushed the side button and made sure it wasn't stuck, which it really couldn't have been anyway, the way it was designed.
Mm-hmm.
People can say it was faulty wiring or something, but it didn't make sense to me. A few days later, it happened again, and then again another day later. Mm. I was getting weirded out. I sat for a moment and started thinking, was that my Uncle Mike saying hi to let me know he was okay?
Mm-hmm.
Doing it in the only way he could, by fooling me. Of course, I said something along the lines of, hey, Uncle Mike, I miss you. And my TV has never done that since.
Whoa.
I always say it was my uncle saying hi.
That's
I believe
crazy
it.
Crazy that it hasn't done it since.
Yeah. He wanted you to let him, mm-hmm. like, to let you know that he was there, and he wanted you to acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sweet story I wanted to share. I've been obsessed with the paranormal and ghosts since I was little. Any place or town I visit, I always love hearing about the tales and legends of those mm-hmm. towns. My hometown of Rochester, New York, has many, and even my college, Niagara University, is haunted. Believable. Believe that. I was telling Bryce how I am a VIP studio tour guide at
yes.
Universal Studios. And you guys at some point have to do an episode about that lot. We do.
Oh, my God. Truly.
We know. Oh, my God. What's his name? I think it's Kevin from Ghost Club Paranormal. He used to be a part of Ghost Club Paranormal mm-hmm. here in LA, and I think he did an investigation there a
cool.
long time ago. So I will get him on the podcast so we could do something
yeah,
like that.
It's so crazy.
And we will love to interview too, you too, Wendy,
yeah,
to see if
please.
You have any experiences. Let's see. So stories like the Phantom of the Opera set that they never took down in Stage 29, which is sadly gone now due to the ghost of Lon Chaney not wanting it to be taken down.
Damn.
So that is another ghost story that is attached to the Universal Studios lot.
Crazy.
I wanted to share this photo. So I was working Halloween Horror Nights several years ago and was waiting for a ride back up from the back lot. I was walking around Six Points Texas sets.
Mm-hmm.
These are our Western sets that have been around since the opening day in 1915.
Damn.
I've heard so many stories of people seeing someone in the windows of the buildings or hearing voices. The sky looked beautiful with the clouds that night, so I took a photo, and when I went back to look at it, the strange small circle of light was in it. There were no lights anywhere on that set that could have made it. It was very dark, and the only moon was the light. I always felt that I caught an orb of a spirit there, possibly Frank Stites, who died on opening day of the studio, March 15th, 1915, when he was attempting to do a stunt from a plane and fell to his death, or maybe one of the old Western stars still roaming around. I'm clearly obsessed as I love movie history and movies and especially paranormal stories. So I wanted to share my photo to get your thoughts. Keep up the great work and come and visit us at Halloween Horror Nights this year. We'll try to bring Bryce again.
No. I won't be doing that. Thank you. No, thank you.
All right. I'm just kidding.
That's so sweet.
I'm going to pull up the photo.
Oh, God.
Okay, there's a. I see a little anomaly and I'm going to have to possibly debunk it. Here it is. You can probably see it right there by that window.
In the middle one there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do see it. This is the thing, though. I never know what I'm looking at. I'm like, ooh, okay, cool. I see the little glowing, yeah.
Yeah, I will have to say that it could possibly be a lens glare from the moon, the light of
right.
the moon.
Yeah, because it's like so bright. I mean, God, the moon is so bright in that photo.
Yeah, it is pretty bright, and I have had I've had images like this right. where the only source of light I had was the moon, and it did something like this. Yeah. It had a glare like that. So it could possibly be explainable.
Yeah.
Or it could be paranormal, but we'll be posting it on our social media yeah. to get everybody's
I love a debate.
Opinion on it. But this is a great picture. It's definitely an eerie photo.
For sure. I mean, even the background, the moon and the clouds, it's like, oh, well, they got the vibe for sure.
Definitely. All right. And you have another yes. story.
So this one is called, let's see, A Story from a Fan. This is from Morgan. Hi. Dear Bryce and Tammy, first off, I wanted to say I love the show. Thank you. That's very sweet. I love hearing that. I'm starting season 4, and to say I'm hooked is an understatement. Yes, good. Gotcha. The reason I'm writing to you is to tell you one of my ghost stories. This one is about a school I attended in San Bernardino, California.
Nice.
Maybe you'll be able to acquire some more knowledge on this because I didn't find much, but I am a little challenged in terms of Google. Honestly, same.
Yeah.
So here's the story.
No joke.
In about 2009, I started attending Inland Empire Job Corps in a small town called Muskoy. Is that how you say that, do you think?
I'm
going to say Muskoy. Confidence. It's right outside of San Bernardino. I was about 20 at the time and had never been away from home, let alone moved into a college-type setting where I was to live on campus with 300-ish other kids. To say it was overwhelming was an understatement. On my first night, I had my first real paranormal experience. I was laying in my bed, kind of staring off into space. You know how you do when you're trying to sleep somewhere new and uncomfortable, totally. Then, out of thin air, an apparition of a little girl sits on the foot of my bed. No. She did not speak to me, did not do anything but sit. Typically, I had a Bryce reaction, as you should, as everyone should, to these types of things, but something about this little girl told me it would be okay. No. A few weeks later, I was telling one of my dorm mates about my first night, and she casually tells me, oh, yeah, the little girl is a greeter. Like, what is this, a Walmart? No. Like, this was absolutely no big deal. She continued to tell me the little girl visits new students who are nervous or scared. Okay, that's
fine. That's adorable.
It's kind of cute. Fine. This made sense to me because she did help calm me down. I figured as long as she was gentle, why not? I mean, yes, but, like, not my bed. No. Unfortunately, this was not my only experience in this room or building.
Oh, man.
You see, my bedroom had 4 beds, and my bed happened to face the bathroom mirror. So it's like a quad or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I had heard mirrors can be portals, like we were just talking about.
We were just talking about mirrors.
And after living in that room, I can't help but agree. Ugh. Let me preface the rest of the story with nothing bad ever happened to me personally, but one of my roommates and some of the other girls next door had stories to tell. After a while of feeling really bad things from that mirror during the nighttime, I finally asked my other roommates what the fuck was up with this room. Hilarious.
Yes, just rip the Band-Aid off.
This is when they... Oh, God. No. This is when they divulged that they had used a Ouija board in the room a few months prior to me moving in. Like, you should have to say that on the lease. Like, come on. You'd think I would have moved out, but I knew and felt I was safe. Oh, no. The weekends seemed to be when the ghosts like to visit. They're busy working otherwise. Doors would slam shut, clocks would get all fucked up, randomly come on, or the time would be messed up, and lights would flicker. Yes, faulty wiring is a thing that building specifically was maybe only 10 years old. The best was if you were sitting out in the community area, typically later at night, probably less crowded for them, you'd see things, not quite apparitions, not quite shadows,
right.
move up and down the hallway. It got to the point where everyone who was a believer was well aware that we had guests. The room next to mine ended up with some gnarly ghost hanging out, though. No. Oh, my God. Scratches on their walls and random stomping from the room when no one was in there to start. They did end up using holy water to bless the room. Oh, my God. But that only caused problems for us next door. No. Whatever that holy water... Oh, no. Whatever that holy water did really pissed something off. One night while we were all At our nightly check-in, nobody was in the rooms at all. We double and triple checked, especially after this. So we were all sitting waiting for the meeting to begin when loud stomping starts coming from my room. Stomping, then a mix of banging and scratching. Then whatever it was took off running. Not sure where it ran off to, but it left my room. And at that point, that was all I cared about. We used some of the extra holy water and blessed our room as well. Ugh. This is just glossing over the stories and strange things that occurred there. Of course, rumors swirled around that place being built on Native American burial grounds. I mean, that's not a terrible guess, frankly. One thing I do know is that the campus was used by the Navy or Air Force as a military base. I know the building had been around since the 60s. Another rumor was that there was a fire at some point. I could not confirm any of that. One thing I can say is that even our RA was aware of the spooky happenings going on within the building. If you have any questions or really anything, reach out, please. I'm a huge fan, Morgan. Now, that's so sweet, but girl, you in danger. No. No, that is so creepy. Not the Ouija board.
Yeah. If you were like, oh, you guys conjured up a demon. No, it's just, you know, once again, you are using tools that... you don't know how to use properly.
You gotta close it.
I know people can debate with me how evil they are. Well, how are they different from using a freaking phone app like the Necrophone? Right. Or how is it different from using tarot and a pendulum?
Everything is a tool. How you use that how tool use your, is yes. evil or not. The yes. tool itself, a hammer can be used to build a house or murder someone.
Like, exactly. There you go.
And I choose murder.
And I choose to build IKEA furniture.
And on God, I'm sitting at a table that I built as we speak. Yes.
Seriously, which towards the end, I feel like I want to kill somebody with that hammer after reading that list of directions. Like, this still doesn't make sense. No, why is it still crooked? Yes. So I believe possibly something was aggravated or conjured up with that Ouija board. We even talked about this in our other episodes of our haunted school and that dormitory. You know, you have all these students coming in. They're bringing in a lot of energy. They're probably doing some stupid stuff and it's attracting something.
Well, like, haven't you ever, I mean, look, have you ever had a roommate who like has people over or like throws a party with like people that you hate?
Yes. Had that happen before.
People are in your space and you're like, okay, it's my roommate's space too. So like they can do whatever they want. But you're like, you're annoyed. You're, you're pissy because it's just like, it's not fun. And that's sort of the vibe. Like, yeah, you can have whoever you want because you live there too. But like, if you aren't respectful, you're going to piss off your ghosty roommate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I always think too. Well, we're in their space.
Right.
And I'm sure before you guys entered, they had that space to themselves. And now, like, all these kids are back and they're like, wreaking
they
havoc.
They don't get a say. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, the least you can do is, like, share the space respectfully, just like you would. Which, to be clear, Morgan doesn't sound like she wasn't.
No,
in general.
Yeah.
And like the kids at the acting school, especially, like, y'all leave them alone. They just want to be left alone.
Seriously. I know. I remember some of them were like, well, we're going to get a Ouija board. Maybe we could fix it. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. They're always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then it's possibly one of those things where like you can't get rid of it because something else is going to come in.
Right.
The location itself has a lot of history.
Right.
There's been a lot of things that have happened there. So if you were to say, hypothetically, get rid of this thing, something else will come back in its place.
Look what happened to Patrick Wilson in Insidious.
There you go. There you go. Oh my God. I want to see that other one. Yeah. Oh,
it looks that. Fuck. Did you see the trailer where he's like in the MRI machine?
Yes. I want to be that.
I can't think of a scarier situation.
I can definitely feel like I want to be that demon that gets on top of him.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I'll get in a
Come on,
MRI
think of it that way.
Patrick Wilson
yes,
for sure.
On top
so
of
handsome,
him.
But
of course.
Oh, when it's like crawling up through the dark towards him. Just
that was,
at
that
point.
That was a chef's kiss in that scene. That really freaked me out, but I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. I will not be seeing that. Thank y'all.
Well, we have one final story. It's a bit of a short story. So I shared the story on our TikTok.
Oh yes.
So, like we said before, it's like no matter where we go, who we talk to, someone has a ghost story. And I've been working out at this boxing gym in the city of San Fernando. And I was asking, I don't know, I just felt like this location and this place is, it has a story.
Damn.
I felt it.
That's crazy.
So I asked Diego, the owner, I was like, hey, do you have any ghosts? I'm just going to be open and honest. Do you have something here? I feel like you may have had something here at one point. He's like, yeah, I think I have.
Damn.
But I don't think it's connected to the gym. I feel like it's connected to one of my new workers. And I said, okay, please tell me. He's like, Are you sure you want to hear it? I'm like, yeah, we're close. We already know each other. Right. And you're going to know me even more after, you know, we talk about this. And he's like, oh, so you're into this stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, go right ahead. He's like, I have many stories, especially from Mexico, but I will tell you this, like, this place has been open for 15 years. Mm. You know, I opened this place. I've been here many hours in this place. Yeah. I've stayed the night in this place, just, you know, building it up. And I've never experienced anything, but he said a couple months ago, I recently hired this young guy to come in and kind of like come in at night after all the classes, just clean up, fix a couple of things, just kind of be a handyman. And, he said that a month ago, the young gentleman approached him and said, yeah, there's something here. Mm. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, there's something dark here. Like, I was cleaning up in this area with the punching bags, and I see this shadow zip from one end of the room to the greeting area and out the door.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know. It just was, it was looking at me. It noticed I looked at it, and then it just, like, beelined out of the building.
Damn.
So I want to know, man, if you've experienced something like that. And he's like, no, I haven't, brother. I haven't, you know, experienced anything like that in this place. And I know this place, like, in and out. So I asked him, you know, are you sure? Has any of the other workers who have come in and stayed late or come in really early in the morning? Because I know that they have had some really early morning classes and one worker's here, you know, have they experienced anything? And he said, no, but it's just ever since I hired this guy, this environment has been a little different when he's here.
Interesting.
But I think, like, he's been attracting something, and I believe that something has possibly latched on to him because he's going through a lot of stuff right now personally. Like, he's opened up to me about it. Mm. But I think that whatever is here is most likely attached to him.
Yeah.
Because the days when he's not here, it's fine. But the days that he is, it's a different story.
That's so creepy.
It lends to the thing. He's like, what do you think it is? I think, well, I said people, places, and things can definitely be haunted. Mm-hmm. And maybe he is attracting some sort of energy or has messed around with something and now it's latched on to him.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say, but I believe that maybe he is attracting something that is not great. And whatever he's going through is allowing him to be very vulnerable to whatever forces are out there. So could that be, you know, what's going on? So I made a TikTok about that and followed up. And I know the last update is the gentleman has temporarily stepped down from his position to go deal with stuff. And ever since then, like, none of the workers, nobody has felt different in that place or seen anything. But that's the only ghost story he's had. So after I posted that TikTok story, another gal had messaged me about an experience she had in that same city. So in San Fernando, they have, like, this little trolley that goes around the old city of San Fernando. It is really cool because it takes you to the mission. It takes you to the main thoroughfare. It takes you to all these really cute places. And I think it's, like, I don't know if it's free or I think you pay $1.50, but it's really, really cute. So she goes on to say, hi, I saw your haunted boxing gym TikTok in San Fernando, and it reminded me of something that happened to me in one of the trolleys that go around the city of San Fernando. It was about 7 years ago. My mom and I got on trolley number one. Mm. If you haven't gotten on one, they're small on the inside with close distance benches. Mm-hmm. I digress. Through more than half of the ride, we heard a child laughing and pacing and making noises, almost as if they were being mischievous. Travioso, of course. We heard it clearly. It wasn't coming from a phone because the noise didn't sound like it came from a video. The only sound that could be heard was this kid. No voices, no kids on the street. Before we got off, we looked back at the trolley and there was no one. Only two older people. She didn't know, like, what could have been the cause of that. Maybe it was probably something attached to those two older people, or maybe...
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Although I feel like a trolley would be, like, a nice place to hang out.
Right. Like, like a ghost can catch a trolley ride around their old city.
Yeah.
But maybe it's attached to someone in that trolley, the driver, or maybe those two older people, or could have been something that the trolley picked up while driving around Old Town San Fernando.
Kids like trolleys, right?
Yes.
Let me just say something about the boxing gym. If I have to work out when I'm a ghost, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to need to speak to the manager because I will not be working out in the afterlife.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely not. I'll lose my mind. I'll haunt every single person on this planet.
I think you said it best many episodes ago. When you're a ghost, you want to come back to a buffet in Las Vegas. Because yes. I'm sure when you're a ghost, you don't have to worry about carbs.
No.
Never. Ever, ever.
I better not have to, or I'm going to be...
I don't want to come back to work.
Oh, if I have to work, I mean, look, although, you know, obviously if you believe in, like, reincarnation or anything like that, it does change the conversation, which I think is very interesting. I personally don't know if that is what happens, but I love thinking about it. If I have to either come back or, like, continue to labor in the beyond, I'm going to be livid. I'm going to haunt everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
You heard it here first. Yeah. So if you see me in the future and I'm a ghost, you're going to know, like, oh shit, we do have to work in the afterlife. And he's pissed.
He's so pissed right now.
And no Ouija board will get rid of me. I promise there you. Go. Yeah. Lose my mind.
No juniper, no Ouija board, no holy water, truly, nothing. No. Would a Starbucks iced latte maybe as to appease my spirit?
Oh my God. Do you want to hear you guys, this is not about a ghost. This is just about me being a psycho. I was at Starbucks the other day.
No, psycho?
I know,
really?
Crazy, right? Can you imagine? I was at Starbucks, and look, one thing about me is that I am not really here for, like, the fad of, like, Starbucks buy your, like, person behind you drink chains. I think I'm just, like, a bitter person, I guess. I don't know. But I don't
you
find
You being a
them,
bitter queen?
I don't find them that, like, inspirational. Like, this location had like a 300 person long chain where everyone was buying each other drinks. Like, give that money to your baristas. Like,
yeah,
I appreciate that, but like, the people in line for Starbucks can afford Starbucks. Like, doing an actual good deed would be like tipping your barista and not like making their life a living hell. You know what I mean? And again, look, am I the Grinch incarnate? Yes, I am. I know it. So the other day I was there and someone did, they in front of me, they like bought my drink. And here's the thing too, is that I just get black cold brew. I don't get anything. It's like bare bones. I don't know what the person
behind
it
simple,
me got. I'm not going to pay for their like insane order where like they ordered drinks for the office or like so I just like I was like, wow, that's so sweet, thank you so much. And I put some cash in the little tip thing. I was like, thank you, like I really appreciate it, that like made my day. And then the barista kind of like stared at me and then I kind of stared at them and I think they were like expecting me to be like, I'll pay for the person behind me. And I just went, okay, have a great day, and like drove off. I was like, I'm not paying for anyone else's coffee. Like, no.
But that's true. I'd rather give them my money.
Yeah, I mean,
they're so sweet.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are great.
And the ones, like, although I had another funny story. I go to the one over in Burbank because it's right by the pool.
Yeah.
So I've been going to that one a lot. And there's this one guy there. He's got to be like 6'5 or taller. And he's like, he looks like a little string bean. He must weigh, if he weighs 120 pounds, I'll eat my hat. Like, he's just a lanky, tall dude.
I think I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, it's over there on Verdugo.
We've gone there.
Tall.
Yeah, and so we've seen him.
I was like, I paid, and then I was like trying to get my audiobook back on. And I look, and his arm is just out the window holding my drink, and he's like doing something else. It's like Gumby giving me my, like, it was so funny. Like, thanks, bye. His arm just like stretching out through the window. I'm like not even looking at me. Like, this is hilarious. So funny. Yeah, so don't bump. If you see me in line at a Starbucks, I appreciate it. It's very sweet. If you're behind me in line at a Starbucks, I'm not buying your drink. I'm
imagine
so sorry.
There's a Starbucks ghost that is like, bitch, you better go back there and pay for their Starbucks drinks. No.
Shan't be doing that.
Yeah, I'd rather tip them. No, I think I've only had one person buy my drink.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And like, if you want to do that, don't let me yuck your yum.
Yeah.
But like, Who is benefiting more from that? Yes, look, it did make my day. It was very sweet. I appreciated it.
But in a way, you're kind of paying it forward. Like,
you
you're like,
are,
I'm tipping
like,
my baristas because they need that money more than anything.
They're the ones that you can help.
And they're trying to find for a union. They're trying to fight for a union.
You really want to support them? Support their unionization
Seriously.
Efforts. Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that work in Starbucks, man. They're all managers and they work really their fucking asses off. Yeah. And I appreciate them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great. Everyone needs to be in a union. Like
exactly.
We only have what a weekend a because
is of there
unions.
A ghost union?
I would join that.
Imagine.
Yeah, yeah, I would join that for sure. Like a ghost teamster.
Is there a ghost Diatsi?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Jesus Christ.
Well, guys, that was our episode of Listener's Tales. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the number of the Listener's Tales, but there's been quite a few, guys.
A lot. Yeah, it's my favorite.
I love reading your stories and we love receiving them. And if I don't message you right away, just know that we looked at them and we're still processing this. The scariness.
That photo really wonked me out. I'm not gonna lie.
Right. But thank you guys so much to, who was it? Wendy, Morgan, Aubrey.
Yes.
So thank you guys for sending, for just taking the time to type it out.
We love hearing from, and like all the people who are like, I have like so many. Send as many as you want.
Send as many as you want. You can type it out. You can actually use your voice memo on your phone, which other people have done, and send it our way. We could play it. And yeah, we'd love to hear your stories. Speaking about stories, if you're not a part of our Patreon, we do have our Saturday Night Ghost Club. The most, the most recent one. Starred our friend Carrie Cahill, who is the star, the reoccurring star of The Walking Dead.
Obsessed.
She plays Diane, and she's also been in a couple of episodes of The Mayfair Witches. Mm-hmm. She has shared many ghost stories about what she experienced on set of The Mayfair Witches.
Damn.
Yeah, she's like, girl, when you're dealing with witches and
it's always the way
haunted New Orleans, you're going to conjure up something. We conjured up something in one episode, probably more. So she goes on to share some stories about that.
That is allegedly, I don't know how familiar you are, but I'm obsessed with this movie, but in, it just left my head. Practical Magic.
Yes.
With Nicole Kidman.
It's top five.
Oh my God. It's such
top
a good movie.
Top five.
I just want to live in that house.
Me too. And play that soundtrack from that movie on repeat, so which I have had
such a vibe
in my car for
their
a while.
Long, beautiful hair and their little herb garden on the coast. Beautiful. But allegedly, so if you watch it, then they're like trying to expel the demon. They had hired like an actual like witch consultant. And they say, you know, obviously, like, people say Hecate or Hecate. They say it in different ways.
Oh, yeah, Hecate.
The Hecate, the way that they pronounce it in the movie is not like any way else I've ever heard.
How did they pronounce it?
I need to look it back up because it's like, it just sounds wrong. And again, I don't really practice witchcraft, so I don't know. Maybe they're saying like a dialect.
There's several ways,
but it doesn't sound like a variation. It sounds like the incorrect name. And allegedly, take this with a grain of salt, allegedly they did that on purpose because they were afraid of like actually summoning her because the ritual that they were doing was a real ritual. And so in order to like prevent something from coming onto the set, like how you're talking about with our friend, they like changed the pronunciation so that like they wouldn't actually invoke
Hecate. Yeah, Hecate. She's intense because I...
You don't want to mess with her.
I actually have an altar.
To her?
I have an altar and I've had some things, weird things happen to me, but I believe that Hecate brought me Mia.
Oh, wow.
Did I ever tell you about my dream? Mm. So a week before I got Mia, I made many offers to Hecate.
Wow.
I was like, Hecate, I really want this dog. I need her. I'm going through a really tough time. And 2 days before I got Mia, I had this dream that I was in this weird apartment. It was like a house. It was empty, but there were people. I could hear voices. And outside of the house, I could hear these two ginormous black dogs barking.
Wow.
And they didn't seem violent or ferocious. They were just barking. And they were separated by this gate of this house that I was in. And they were barking so loud. And it was getting louder and louder. I went out there and I was, for some reason, to quiet them, I, for some reason, said, Hecate, Hecate. And I said it several times and the dogs stopped barking.
Oh my God.
And they slowly started to approach me towards the gate. They were just not like charging at me, but they were slowly approaching me. And something told me to wake up and I woke up in 2 days. I got Mia.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I got her. And my friend was like, I think that was Hecate's way of saying, like, I'm listening to you, but now you're going to listen to me, right, kind of thing. And ever since then, because she is the mother of hounds, but she's also the mother of witches and the mother of keys and the underworld, the spirit world. And ever since that, I've been working with her. I've been able to see things.
Yeah.
Like, it's been intense.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and I know it's not, she's not for everyone.
Yeah, I remember if you go way back in the archives.
Yeah.
If you go back to, I think it was our first, maybe our second time interviewing Zachariah the Witch.
Oh, it was our first time.
And
yeah,
him talking about, like, yeah, Hecate, you just have to be, like, really aware going in.
Yeah.
Like, what you're getting into, and it's really intense, but yeah, really powerful and really beautiful, but really, you know, it can be dangerous if you're not wise with, like, how you respect her and...
Yeah.
Just like anything. But one thing I love about Zachariah the Witch is that he's always going to shoot it straight. He's always going to tell you, like, the truth that you need to hear in the most, like, gentle way.
Exactly.
And I just remember, like, when we were interviewing him, I mean, at this point, this is, like, years ago now. I just remember being like, wow, that is, like, he's not downplaying it, but he's just such a, like, gentle communicator.
Yeah.
I was like, it, like, struck me. I was like, oh, shit. Like, okay, you don't mess with her, because, like, if he's saying it like this,
yeah,
you know it's, like,
yeah, he crazy. Warned me. He's like, "Ooh, you're working with her." And I said, "Yeah, I do it, but I'm not
to be careful.
I'm not, like, stupid with it."
Right. Yeah. No, you're not. In general, I'm very you're respectful. So smart and respectful.
Like,
about
I appease
all of
her.
This.
Yeah. Like, I've studied her. Thank you. Not only to Zachariah, but also to Mystic Dylan, because Mystic Dylan was through him. And reading about her and honoring her in a way that is respectful, but not abusing it.
Truly.
And I've seen the things that she's brought to me.
Yeah.
I've seen many things because of her. And I've, like, known, okay, I need to step back a little bit. But other than that, it's been interesting yet beautiful, to say the least. But it hasn't been scary.
Yeah.
And I think with her, you have to take her with a grain of salt. She's not for everyone, but sure. I mean, look at her. I have her on my computer right now. Yeah. Like, she's right here looking at me. So,
yeah. What'd you say? Look, I'm not for everyone either. And I also require grains of salt. So, like, I get it.
I call her Hecate. Hey, girl. Hey. And then that's it. I think she likes it. She likes a jokester.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. But if anybody has Hecate stories, I'm all about that too.
Oh, yeah.
Send it our way. But yeah, listen to our episode of our Saturday Night Ghost Club on our Patreon page. Guys, if you're not a Patreon member, it's as little as $1 or more per month. It goes to the podcast. It keeps our hosting site up. It helps us, you know, get coffee. It helps us, you know, build our brand a little more. And
equipment.
Exactly.
So many things, really. Like, look, you know, obviously we're not getting in subs because we're billionaires. So, like,
you had to put that in.
Of course I did. Come on now. But, like, look, the money, you know, we're not trying to, like, grift people. The money goes back into the podcast.
It does. So. It really has. And remember the video I posted on Instagram? Yeah. We've been at this since 2018.
The before times.
I know, so guys. Crazy. So thank you. It's been 5 years of Hollywood Paranormal.
Insane.
And it's been consistent.
The fact that 2018 was 5 years ago makes me nauseous.
It does.
It's gross.
Like, I was, like, looking at films the other day on Showtime, and I'm looking at the year. Like, when did this come out? 2019? That was 4 years ago. That was a while ago.
I was just watching Center Stages on Hulu right now, which I'm obsessed
hell,
with.
Yes.
You know what? That movie came out in 2000, and it makes me want to
die.
2000? Wait. I thought it came out in, like, 1992.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes.
We're so fucking
good. I know. But god, that movie's good. I love it so much.
It's so good. Yeah. Dance got booty in my heels tonight, so baby.
Iconic.
Oh, I know. My sister was a dancer. She would, like, obsess over that dance that they do at the end. I'm like, oh my god.
So insane.
Yeah. Ugh. And a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh my god. We've derailed.
Yes, we have. If you love Holly Weird Paranormal, guys, if you love our banter.
I say, if you love our new Center Stage only podcast. Welcome to Center Stage Talk.
You can stalk us at Facebook and Instagram at Hollyweird Paranormal and at HWP Podcast on Twitter. You can also follow us on Hollyweird Paranormal TikTok. I'm also under Haunted LA Girl. Yes. If you want to follow my haunted journey, my paranormal journey, we'll be posting some more episodes in the future based on the investigations that we've done. We're going to try to get a hold of a certain author from Louisville to talk about a certain crime that occurred there. Yes. It's so good. I've been listening. Okay. Like ripping the Band-Aid off. David Dominé's A Dark Room in Disco. No, in Glitterball City. A Dark Room in Glitterball City is a really good read.
Yes.
I highly recommend it. You could get it on Audible. You can get in hard copy. Listen to it. It's so great. It does kind of reminisce the Grisham novels, but he is such a great storyteller. If you like drag queens, if you true crime, if you love the Dark South, this is a really good book.
Obsessed.
So definitely take a gander at it. Listen to it. I just finished it on Audible. It's so great. All right. A big shout out to our friends over at What's Up Weirdo Podcast and Southern Gothic Podcast. Yes. Another big shout out to our new friends over at Caulfield's Novelty and Costume. They are so amazing. So when I went to Louisville, they have a pretty haunted costume shop.
Obsessed.
It's really crazy. I did a walkthrough where I'm going to be posting a lot of those videos on Instagram. Yes. So definitely be following us on Instagram. We'll be covering most of my haunted finds very soon in another episode. And I think that's pretty much it. So shout out to them. Go and check them out. Caulfield's Novelty. They're on Instagram. I'll be supporting them too for Halloween. Yes. They're a small business. They're a mom and pop business. And I absolutely love them. They're very sweet. All right. I guess that's it, Bryce.
I guess so.
I know. You're ready for your musical?
Yes.
I'm so excited to go see you.
It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun.
You're gonna blow it out of the park.
It's going to be great.
All right, guys. Always remember to take care of yourselves and to take care of each other. And always remember to stay Holly Weird. Yes. If you do want to send in your story for another listener's tales, please send it over to hollyweirdparanormal@gmail.com. Bryce, do you have anything else you want to say?
Bye.
Bye, guys. Take care and stay Holly Weird.